Two men in a six pack starts in 3, 2, 1. Welcome, listeners. Two men, the six pack. This is Goody. Got my man Trevor. Trevor, how you doing?
Good, man.
Let me make sure we can hear everybody on the mic. I'm gonna turn this up a little bit. Say it again, Trevor.
Good.
Good. Can you hear me? Got Bobby Mills.
Yes, sir.
Bob, the senior Mills. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you.
All right. We're sitting at the kitchen table. We got my man Andy over there. He's happy the Pittsburgh Steelers just pulled out a victory over the New England Patriots. Who, anybody who knows, I feel the same way about the New England Patriots as I feel about the Ohio State Buckeyes. And then we have a special guest over there consuming a little beer as well as a little water, my son, Gray Goodson. So, Gray, you and Andy, feel free to get up and talk about this conversation that we're going to have anytime. So, Twin Peaks, thank you so much for the food that you've given us. Once again, we love you. You've given back the Sicilian sandwiches, and everybody is happy that the Sicilians are back.
Cheese dip.
We love the cheese dip.
Got to go with Mike on that one. Mm-hmm. He steps it up. That black stuff, though, we got to get rid of that.
Yeah, so if you listen, y'all cannot send the black bean
it's
stuff
like
or whatever it is.
Sauce
yeah,
so. I think it's vegan or vegetarian. Something
you
eat.
Yeah, there's not many. There's not many vegans or vegetarians at this table. So, all right, let's move on. Here we go. Birthdays today, December. If you want to like to be a famous person and grow up to have, so we would call your birthday out, you need to be born on December 16th, because there's really nobody famous born on December. I'm getting ready to tell you all the most famous person born on December 16th. William Perry, better known as the refrigerator. William Perry, that is the most famous person.
Wow.
Man.
Chicago Bears, 1985 to 1993. Defensive tackle, but he was also known for playing fullback on offense and blocking for who? Who did he block for?
Walter Payton.
What was Walter Payton's nickname?
Sweetness.
I
don't know.
During his rookie year, the refrigerator had more TD catches or rushes and pass receptions for touchdowns than he did tackles.
Man,
he had two rushing TDs and one TD pass. This is an interesting fact about Fat Man William Perry. Super Bowl ring is the largest in history. His ring is a size 25. The average per male in the United States' ring is between a 10 and 12. Mm. So his fingers are two times as big as the average person, and his head was two times as big. Humongous person.
The Bear Shuffle.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk about that in rapid fire. So that's the only birthday of note we have today. I hope he doesn't come up and pick on me and get me, because he's from Aiken, was born in Aiken, South Carolina. Yeah. And so this is being recorded. If you're listening, Mr. Perry, this is being recorded in Jacksonville, Florida. So you cannot find me. All right, let's move on. This date in sports, 1973. Buffalo Bills, and later the most guilty man not to go to jail, O.J. Simpson, becomes the first NFL player to rush for 2,000 yards in a season. Obviously, the glove fit then, so he did not acquit. Also, this day, 1985, John the Teflon Don Gotti. This is not a sports. General history.
I have no idea who that guy is.
John Gotti?
No.
You don't?
I was born in 87.
He assumed the leadership of the New York Gambino crime family.
Oh.
After ordering the execution of Big Paul or Big Paulie Castellano and Thomas Tommy Biliotto. How do we know this? Did his PR guy send out a press release and hey, hey, John Gotti's he's in charge.
He's the new guy.
I mean, think about this, dude. So it's just assumed that his PR guy sent out a press release. Yeah. John Gotti is now the head of the Gambino crime family. But I thought it was pretty interesting.
It was probably the chief of police at the time.
Yeah, actually. So, as you can tell, December 16th pretty much sucked for historic events and whatnot. So, but let's move on. High school football. So, we're going to start off Jacksonville High School. They had a great run, state playoffs. It came to an end yesterday in Chapel Hill. 17-14 loss. They did lose to the defending 3A state champions, Charlotte Catholic. We had a chance to catch up with Bo Williams earlier today, and this is what Bo had to say. I'm going to play a little words of wisdom from Bo.
Hey, Goody, this is Bo. Cards lost in the state championship game to Charlotte Catholic, 17-14. The kids played extremely hard. It was a great hard-fought game. Both sides never quit. I feel like we just kind of ran out of time instead of us losing, but that's what happens. Can't win every game. Kids busted their butt all year. Just so couldn't be prouder of them as men and as players. They're just great kids with great character and just so proud to be able to coach them. I want to say thanks to all the fans that came and supported us the whole year. Couldn't have been done without them. They're the greatest, and appreciate everything that they all did for us and everybody in the support staff, administration, and everything. It was a great year, just tough pill to swallow today. Thanks for everything you all do for us as well, man. Appreciate it. Go Cards.
There you have it, Bo Williams. Obviously, pretty emotional in that interview. That was today. Jacksonville ends the season 11-2, state runner-ups. They actually had the lead 14-10 at halftime, and they had outgained Charlotte Catholic. They had actually doubled up on them, 209 yards to 100. But the second half was just a different story. Charlotte Catholic's defense allowed Jacksonville only 44 yards in the second half. So I know three of the four of us sitting at the table were there. So just
four of the six in the building were.
And four of the six in the building were great. So if y'all want to make any comments, y'all give me a little feedback about what you think, what y'all thought about the game, what you think the obviously the second half turned what was a little different story. I'm going to kind of be quiet, which is very rare for me, and I'm going to let y'all kind of talk about it.
I think one major thing, I think everyone saw at the very beginning how much more athletic Jacksonville was than Charlotte Catholic. You know, we were concerned about them running down our throats, but obviously after the first series, we knew we were more athletic than they were, and we showed that in the first half. And at halftime, obviously, Charlotte Catholic made some adjustments, especially with the option. We just obviously weren't able to overcome those issues, Bob. I would say.
And the backfields have been very effective this year for Jacksonville. I mean, they've really, Kajir and Graham and Justin have been able to do whatever they wanted to do very effectively, even against Havelock. But Charlotte Catholic strung out that option and did a great job defending it, you know.
And forced them inside.
Yes. They played just straight up great defense. You know, of course, I always talk about Tymir Brown's just a tremendous athlete that I've had the pleasure of coaching in basketball. And he had three touches the first half, and all three were positive. And unfortunately, he didn't get any touches the second half, which I was hoping would make a difference. But we just didn't or couldn't get any ball.
It was, you know, it was just real interesting. You know, I thought, and it just kind of goes back to this, to the always the debate that always you have in football. You know, would you rather be have speed, or would you rather be, you know, bigger, bulky, finesse, and kind of, you know, go that approach? I've always, obviously, because I've never had a ton of speed, and I'm always on the big and bulky side.
Speed versus size,
yeah,
right?
I'm always going to default to the big and bulky side. You know, there was just some issues. You know, some issues have come up after the game about field conditions. They maybe not have been the most conducive for a state championship game. Were they more conducive for Charlotte Catholic and their style of play than Jacksonville's? Absolutely. You know, the thing that I did find interesting, though, was in the first half, I mean, Jacksonville used their speed in the first half. I mean, Charlotte Catholic took it down on the opening drive, and Jacksonville held them to a field goal. Charlotte Catholic kicked off, and very, very, very first play, I guess it was the quarterback, ran a sweep around the left side and ran for 45 yards. And Jacksonville came out and, you know, basically punched Charlotte Catholic in the face that very first play. And, you know, it showed that they were going to come out to play. But, you know, it was a tale of two halves. Much like last Friday night, Havelock and Jacksonville played a great first half. yesterday, and a great second half against Havelock. They just just seem to not put it together. Not taking anything away from Jacksonville, not taking anything away from Charlotte Catholic. I thought their defense really, Charlotte Catholic's defense really stepped up. The field conditions obviously could have been a factor, as it was associated with that.
And obviously the middle of the field was the roughest part.
Yeah, the middle of the field was the roughest.
And that's why Jacksonville didn't probably go to the more open side, because they knew the field situation too. So that kind of affected the play call. First and foremost, it was a great year for Jacksonville High School. And getting back to this level of success is a commitment that these kids and these coaches have done for the futures going forward, for the years going forward.
Yeah.
I would like to say I think Jacksonville probably does not beat Havelock beats Havelock maybe only 3 or 2 times out of 10 when they play Havelock. I think Jacksonville, when they play Charlotte Catholic, I think Jacksonville wins 7 times out of 10 when they play Charlotte Catholic.
Yeah, I thought there was no comparison, honestly, between Charlotte Catholic and Havelock. I honestly thought Havelock was 10 times better.
Yeah.
It's just one of those things. It's one of those match. It's just a matchup thing. It just happened the way the field conditions were on that given day, with the type of teams they had. It just didn't break Jacksonville's way.
And it could have been one of a few things. I mean, you got to think about it. Jacksonville lost the turnover battle. If we win that, we win the game. Jacksonville lost, obviously, the penalty battle. Charlotte Catholic had very few penalties. We had four penalties. One of the penalties that it's called. We complete a third down pass. Okay, and I didn't look at the replay of it, so I don't know the holding call. They make that completion. Jacksonville probably wins this football game. So those three plays alone are,
Yeah, but I would say Charlotte Catholic did fumble the ball on the 1-yard line. And they came out opening kickoff, and they stopped Jacksonville. Jacksonville punted, and I think that was the time that they blocked the punt. They got a piece of it, and they started out on Jacksonville's end, and they gave it to number 24. I think his name was McDowell. And I was sitting up there watching the game with Gray, and they gave it to him like 6 or 7 times.
Seven straight times.
And they literally ran the same play 4 times. And I looked at Gray and I said, if they don't give the ball to that kid every time, that, the coach needs to be fired. They found a play. It was like an off tackle, off right tackle or something. I don't know if they were doing something with the blocking scheme or something. But they found a play and they ran it like 4 or 5 times in a row. Yeah. And every time they ran it, they gained 7, 8, 9, 10 yards.
Least amount of yards I think that kid got was 4 yards.
He fell forward and gained 3 yards.
When
teams are close, and so many times it comes down to
a few plays.
Jacksonville was a -2 in turnovers and they lost.
Yep.
They were -2 first time they played Havelock and they lost, and they were +2 at Havelock and won.
Yeah. So, I mean.
And I tell you one thing, though. It took some guts and gumption and some other body parts as well for Coach Williams and his staff to call the fake punt on the second one. The first one was a gutsy call.
Great gutsy call.
I thought that was pretty awesome of him to do that.
And, staff to be commended. I mean, like I said, great year. I mean, you lose to during the season, you lose to the number one team, ranked team in the state. And then your other loss during the year is to the defending 3A state champions. So, you beat who you were supposed to beat. You maybe beat some teams you weren't supposed to beat. And then you turn around and beat the team to beat you. And, Charlotte Catholic the last 2 years now is they're 29-1 or 2. 29-2, maybe 29-1.
They lost the first game of the year.
To a 4A school. It was a 4A school. So, anyway, moving on. Bo, good season. Jacksonville Cardinals are to be commended. Fans that attended. There was no competition with fans. Jacksonville brought probably 3 times as many fans as Charlotte Catholic. And the crowd was pumped. So, great season by the Cardinals. We're moving on to basketball season now, regardless.
Yes, sir.
So here we go. College football. Bowl season has started, whether we want it to or not, and do we even care? So I'm just going to run through. So just for y'all that happen to watch bowl games, or if you didn't happen to watch bowl games, These games are so insignificant, I'm not even going to tell you the teams that lost. I'm just going to tell you the teams that won. So, Fresno State won the Las Vegas Bowl. Georgia
Las Southern. Vegas Mitsubishi Bowl.
Oh, I'm sorry. Las Vegas Mitsubishi Bowl. You got it. Why didn't we jet out there and go, man?
We were supposed to go, but we had our Christmas party last night. So.
Yeah. Well, that is significant.
Yes.
I need to find out who actually Fresno State beat so I can actually tell you that. Georgia Southern wins the Camellia Bowl. That was the... That was maybe the Daihatsu Camellia Bowl or something.
Okay,
like that.
Yes. I don't know. The Daihatsu. Wow.
Or was it the Kia? I don't know. Anyway,
yeah.
App State crushed Middle Tennessee State in the New Orleans Bowl. Utah State put up like 61 on whoever they played in the New Orleans Bowl. Tulane wins the Cure Bowl. What the hell? Cure, the Cure Bowl. Is that a new car by Nissan?
Probably.
I think it's a Band-Aid.
Is that a band?
Oh, is it? Yeah, the band, The Cure, yeah. And NCA&T, who previously opened the season with a victory over East Carolina, wins the Celebration Bowl.
Okay. So, anyway, I'm in.
This week we have the Boca Raton, Frisco, Gasparilla, Bahamas, Idaho Potato, Birmingham, Armed Force, Dollar General, and Hawaiian Bowls. And a Partridge in a Pear Tree Bowl.
I feel like I'm at a restaurant.
I know. So those are the bowls. Oh, and this just then. All the bowl games that are yet to be played will survive without West Virginia's Will Greer and his merry band of Me First players that are sitting out their bowl games because they need to protect their fourth round status of NFLers. So, Will Greer, you're my man until you decide to sit out and be a wuss. And put Go live in a bubble, Will Greer.
So did Christian McCaffrey. I don't see you hating on him.
I'm hating on the whole Panther team right now.
Okay.
So anyway. Well, and be honest, Christian McCaffrey was one that started this.
He started it
2 years ago. Anyway. Let's talk about people that are playing in bowls, and let's talk about something that's awesome. Let's talk about the expansion to an 18 playoff. That has come up this week. And coaches such as Lincoln Riley and Brian Kelly, who interestingly are in the Final Four, both of them are in the Final Four, both of them actually are proponents of this thing. So a bunch of formulas being thrown around, but the formula that they're talking about is the Power Five conference champions all get in, so that's five slots, plus the highest ranked group of five conference champion. So this year that would have been UCF. Georgia. UCF, the group of five. They're in the group of five.
Okay, the group of five conference.
And then two at-large teams. So you would get two potential. That would open it up for an SEC team. Yeah. It'd open up for another Big Ten, or a Big Ten team or whatever. So what are y'all's thoughts on that? Tell me your thoughts about expanded eight.
I don't know about the guarantee of the group of five team. I mean, if you got a team that doesn't go undefeated. I mean, UCF's gone undefeated 2 years in a row.
Well,
if we had a top eight, obviously they deserve.
Yeah,
to go in there.
So the rub on that would have been that this year legitimately, they did not beat Clemson, but Pittsburgh went 8-5. If Pittsburgh would have beat Clemson, they would have been 9-4, and potentially been representing the ACC as a 9-4 school and have gotten a guaranteed spot in. The championship.
Well, it just tells you how weak that division is. I mean, Carolina plays in that division with Pittsburgh.
Carolina did beat Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I know. That's what's sad.
Remind that.
Do I know? Oh, that Carolina beat Pittsburgh? Yeah, we need to mention that every time. See, and by the way, I was going to mention something about that previously as well. So all the Carolina seniors actually decided that they were going to sit out a bowl game this year because they wanted to get ready for the NFL draft. So that's why that's the only reason we went 3-9 because we just said screw it. We're not going to sit out. We're just going to tank the season so we don't make the bowl.
I mean, what's the reason why not to have eight?
Well, because the original agreement was four, and they contractually agreed to this is the fifth year. Was it like 8 years, seven, 8 years?
I think so.
But they are thinking about redoing this thing and potentially trying to go to eight.
I mean, should. 4 to 8's more money.
I was about to say, more money.
It's only one more week. It's not like the kids are barely in school, so the beginning of the semester is always easier. So,
it's
a no-brainer.
Academics is not a true concern when it comes to this type of money.
There's only two schools, also. Yeah.
Andy, you want to chime in? You want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to talk about the extra week. You already have players walking out of bowl games because they're worried about getting hurt, so now we're talking about having them play another game. And this gets back to some of the argument last week is where's the incentive to the player to, you know, keep on playing in these games with their careers? Because now we're talking about the top teams.
Well, yeah, but if you think about it,
no player playing for the national championship has no.
Okay, so but if you think about it, if West Virginia, I think, ended up 10 or 11, let's just say, right. Well, let's just say for purposes of this conversation, West Virginia would have been 8, and they would have made one of the, they have made the playoff. Do you think Will Grier would have stayed in and played?
So if Will Grier was better and they'd have beat Oklahoma, then would he still sit out and they'd be in the
final? He'd be playing.
Yeah, he'd be playing. Right. He'd absolutely be playing. I guess their point is that it's a meaningless bowl game. So my point being, if the NCAA, if the players are thinking that these games are meaningless, then they might be meaningless. So, yeah. So let's not let it always be about money. Why don't they just do away with all these damn bowl games if they're so meaningless?
We shouldn't have played all year. Then.
I mean, you can watch a lot of reruns of Good Wife if you do away with all these.
You just play till you lose. Yeah,
that's a good point.
Now I want to go back on one thing you just said, in regards.
You don't have to call me Mr. Goodson. You almost did, but that's all right. Go ahead.
If Pittsburgh beats Clemson, they get in and, you know, gets crazy. Isn't that the excitement of March Madness, is that all these teams that they have a shot? So, obviously, we're not talking about a field of 64 or anything, but to give a team that otherwise has no shot the ability to do something crazy and give them a shot for the title?
Well,
I think
yeah.
It's kinda cool.
Like Central Florida.
Like Central Florida. Yeah. I mean, I see your point. March Madness is so different from the perspective you play 35 games and you can win your conference tournament or you're getting so many at large bids anyway. I don't know. I mean, watching Pittsburgh play and know that Carolina, if Pittsburgh made the final 8 because they won the conference championship and Carolina beat them, who sucked. I mean, legitimately, the game on the football field yesterday in Chapel Hill was the best game played on that field all year long.
We definitely saw the best running back.
Saw the best running back all year long that played on that field. And probably the best, number 24 for Charlotte Clasco was good. I don't know if that's
right. And the Jacksonville running backs, all of them.
Yeah, they were good.
Either one.
But, I mean, it would create some excitement. It's just hard for me to wrap my hands around Pittsburgh being a part of that.
Well, think about it from the opposite direction, though. Does Clemson deserve to be in that final 8 if they just got whooped by Pittsburgh?
Well, that's a great point. That's a great point. But they would potentially – the scenario that I saw, it had Utah and neither one of them made it, but if you guarantee conference championships, Utah got beat by Washington. Washington won the Pac-10, and it had Pittsburgh beating Clemson. So you would have Utah, who had lost their starting running back, their two running backs and quarterback, had beaten Washington, but yet they were in, and then Pittsburgh being in, and Clemson would have gotten one of the wild cards, at large, and the other wild card would have gone to Notre Dame, because Notre Dame, you know, is not affiliated with
a conference. They're an at-large bid.
Yeah, it would have been the at-large bid. So your three, besides your conference champ, it would have been Clemson, Notre Dame, and UCF would have filled the spot. But we can talk. We're going to get to this with a rapid fire that's going to basically sum up the last 6 minutes that we've
given.
I mean, I can tell you the question right now if you want to.
No, let's hold it. Okay,
because when I say the rapid fire question, you're going to say, yeah, you're right.
But we're all in favor.
And you probably know what it is already.
Hey, we're all in favor of going to 8.
Things, yeah. Gonna be out
we're all in favor of doing 8, right? Yeah. There's like not much really, more really need for conversation. We're going to 8.
All right, let's move on to the NFL. So we can't talk about the Panthers and losing 6 in a row yet, because they don't play till tomorrow night. They're at home tomorrow night versus New Orleans. So first we're going to talk about Cleveland.
Oh man,
Cleveland Browns. Baker Mayfield and the Browns beat the Broncos last night, 17-16. First time Cleveland has won in Denver since 1990. They're now 6-7-1, and legitimately, I know it's a long shot, but they are still before the end of the day, they were still had a mathematical shot of making the playoffs. Now I think with the Ravens winning today, now that's gone. But they still before the day had ended, they had a mathematical shot.
They can have a winning record.
Yeah, they're 6-7-1 now. The over and under in Vegas before the season started was that they would win five and a half games. They have won 6, and since the change of offensive coordinator Freddie Kitchens and the firing of Hugh Jackson, Mayfield has just gone crazy. In fact, the stats I saw, and I don't remember them, but since Freddie Kitchens became the offense coordinator and started working with Mayfield and calling the plays, he was like middle of the pack to the 20s passing all the stuff. In one stat, he had moved all the way up to like third. Of course, that's a small sampling, you know.
This is five games, right?
Six games. Which, and
I mean, you know, how bad is Hugh Jackson? Yeah.
Well,
I mean, that's the real question. Yeah.
And you know, he really didn't have a great game last night. He was off. You know, he's known for being on and throwing. And I think he threw for less than 200 yards. But he just finds something about him, man. He just finds a way to win.
He just wins, baby.
All he does is win.
No matter what.
Mm-hmm. So anyway. So let's move on. Bobby, you threw out something interesting today in a text to Trevor and I, and we're going to talk about this. L.A. Chargers, best team in the NFL. State your case for the L.A. Chargers and the best team in the NFL.
I don't think I stated that exactly.
I've got it on my text. That's what you said. That's exactly what you said.
I think I need to read the pretext of the text. Well, this whole debate started about Phillip Rivers and his success and what he is in history versus some other quarterbacks. And I believe that he's a much better quarterback than Eli Manning. And I believe he's a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. And I think he goes down in the Hall of Fame. And I think he's
a historical perspective?
Yes. Wow. For their careers.
Yeah.
Wow. Not just this year, but for their careers.
Yeah.
And I think right now, after beating the Chiefs, I think the Chargers, if they win out, they're going to get home field advantage. And I think they can win the AFC championship and play the Saints in the Super Bowl.
Okay, first of all, if both teams win out, they'll be tied. Mm-hmm. And Chiefs will have a better division record. Okay. So Chiefs will be the number one seed.
Okay.
Well, but still, I mean, you make a valid point. I mean, Rivers has always been on the cusp.
Yes.
There's always been he's been there.
And I'll say, obviously, my bias, he's an NC State guy, so obviously I know that bias plays into some of my thought process.
I just, you know, he's the knock on him, and we were talking about this. You know, we would do great. I was joking around. We should just set a recorder to talk about before we start recording the podcast because we have some great conversation. The knock on him has been he always makes a mistake, though, at a crucial time. Throws an interception, throws an incomplete pass, something. Maybe it's just unlucky. Maybe he just it hadn't been in the cards for him.
We're throwing a soccer term out here?
What?
Unlucky?
Joey
Mahalchuk's not here today.
Does that mean you're lucky when you complete?
I don't know, man. Whether it's not necessarily him, the defense will do something will happen, but he just hasn't been able to get over the hump in all these years. Now, I will tell you this. I don't think he's a better quarterback than Ben Roethlisberger. Now, we did talk off air, and you asked me a question that I thought was very interesting. You said, if Phillip Rivers played for the Steelers and Ben Roethlisberger played for the Chargers, I said the Steelers would still have won Super Bowls. They still would have won probably the same amount of Super Bowls. And, you know, but I just think that when you look at it, there's more than stats go into
everything.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, you know, you're right. You're only as good as the team around you. You know, the thing about, and I'm obviously not comparing him to Ben Roethlisberger or Phillip Rivers, but, you know, Baker Mayfield, man, he goes over and he gets, like, the defense pumped up. You know, Phillip Rivers I've seen Phillip Rivers in past years try to go over and be.
Yeah, get jacked up.
Jack everybody up. But
he's a busy man. He's got nine kids.
I was going to say, he is busy.
He's literally got nine kids.
Yeah,
he's got nine.
Literally, his wife just got pregnant. They're having their ninth child.
Yeah.
Is he Mormon?
No.
Every time that they got knocked out of the playoffs, he got knocked out of the playoffs, he had a baby. Because he had more time on
his hands. So would you rather have Baker Mayfield than Cam Newton for quarterback?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Agreed. If we want to play this game, start them out right now and ask me.
Who's the best team in the NFL right now?
Well, man, so let's okay, we're going to get to your question actually here in a second. So let's talk about this with the Chargers. The Chargers, if you took the AFC South together and made an all-star team, the Chargers still could probably beat the all-star team at the AFC South. The Titans, Jags, Colts.
Right. Yeah.
And I can't even remember the freaking fourth team. Who's the fourth team? That's how bad. Texans. The Texans.
Yeah.
Texans are tough, though.
The Chargers beat everybody in that division. Do you think the Chargers are better than the Patriots?
Yes.
You do?
This year,
Trevor, do you think the Chargers are better than the Patriots?
No.
Bob?
I think they're better.
Andy?
I would go better.
Gray, Chargers better than the Patriots. Yes,
This year.
13 better, yes.
Okay.
The other question with that question is where are they playing as well?
Good point.
Yeah.
Well, And from that perspective, if things ended today, the Chargers would be paying the Patriots in Foxborough. Because...
So they're not better than the Patriots.
They just lost.
But they're still in first place. The division winner gets a home game.
Right.
Regardless. Even if you get the better record?
Yeah. That kind of sucks. Yeah. It doesn't matter. Okay. Are the Chargers, even though they beat them last week, are they better than the Steelers?
Yes.
No.
I say no.
Okay.
No.
No.
Gray?
I think they're better than the Steelers.
Well, you and Bobby need to go over there and hold hands, Gray.
Pittsburgh.
Okay, what about the Chargers? Of course, they played them twice. Chargers better than the Chiefs.
I think the Chiefs just have too much firepower.
Chargers defense is definitely better than the Chiefs.
Chargers defense is better.
And I think the Chargers can have enough muster on offense to overcome the Chiefs.
Okay.
So I'm not following the news quite so much, but what's up with the Chiefs? Is it their running back, I think?
Yeah, right? The Kareem Hunt situation.
He's out.
He's not playing this year.
No, he's done.
So
he might be playing.
Are we going to talk about how that impacts their outlook for the rest of the year?
He might be playing in the Kansas City Penal League, but he's not playing in this league right now.
Playing for the
Minkers. Well, I mean, they definitely take a hit with that. I mean,
no pun intended.
Yeah. Spencer Ware.
Too soon.
I didn't mean too that. Soon. Yeah, too soon. Spencer Ware is our backup. Running back. He's an adequate backup. He's not a Kareem Hunt. He was actually hurt Thursday night and didn't play. But now to the defense of the Charger clan, Melvin Gordon didn't play, and that's Kareem correct. Allen got hurt.
Very first series.
James Conner's in a Le'Veon Bell, but he's getting it done.
The good point. So I don't know
he's
how
not
much
even playing past couple weeks.
Yeah, I just don't know how much Kareem Hunt obviously is going to impact them. I think the AFC is more wide open than the NFC now.
I agree.
Me personally.
The AFC playoffs are going.
Yeah. So my question to you though is Philip Rivers today's Dan Marino? The question is, I mean, great statistics, but is he ever going to get over that hump to where he's going to make it to a Super Bowl?
Well, once again, it's a team sport.
Yeah.
And Dan Marino certainly didn't have the supporting cast. Just as, like Bobby said, the Chargers' defense is better, but that's kind of like having a cold and taking a shot of malaria. You know?
Good point.
The Chargers do have a solid defense. The Chiefs do not.
Trevor, what do you think?
I'm still going with the Chiefs.
Okay. Do you think Philip Rivers is today's Dan Marino? Throw up crazy stats, known to be one of the best QBs of his time, but can't take his team to the Super Bowl?
I don't think I'm going to cut it.
All right. Well, let's move to the NFC East.
Okay.
Is it still the Saints and Rams, top two teams?
Yes.
Before today, I would have said the Cowboys, but the Cowboys got smacked.
Yeah.
Since the Cowboys traded for Amari Cooper, they've been a different team. Mm-hmm. Totally different team. Today they laid an egg. The best team in the NFC nobody's talking about, they wrapped up the division today.
The Bears.
Mitchell Trubisky led Chicago Bears.
Hottest team?
Hottest team in the NFL. The new monsters of the Midway.
Defense, as we know.
Khalil Mack is a monster. He sacked. Did you see today? He sacked Rodgers with his back.
Back, yeah.
That was.
Did he sack him four times a day? Is what I saw.
When Gray came home, Gray walked in from college, sat down. We were watching in the third quarter, and he had three sacks.
He's a beast.
He had a fourth sack in the.
Okay, and Mitch Trubisky, as I know him, because he did go to UNC Chapel Hill. He doesn't.
He's Joe Flacco.
He's Joe Flacco. Trent Dilfer, man, he just doesn't screw up. Mm-hmm. Manager of a game, and he realizes, hey man, my defense is badass.
Only two and a half.
And just don't screw up and let my defense, you know, do what my defense is going to do. I'm telling you, man, I just, you know, they may get their ass whooped next week and they may get beat first round of the playoffs, but just like y'all were saying, where do you play? You go to Chicago in January for a playoff game. Yeah, that's a tough place to play, man.
So they won't be going to Green Bay. We know that.
Yeah, they won't be going to Green Bay.
And
so
the Chiefs, Rams, Chargers are all defense wins championships.
Yeah,
they don't have to be.
Yeah, that's what defense wins championships. And the last time I checked, the best defense in the NFL was in Chicago.
Yeah, sorry.
And the Saints are pretty good too, though. You got to get the Saints defense. They're the best of the rest of those teams.
Yeah. So we'll see what happens. Let's move on to college basketball. We haven't really started talking about college basketball much, but since we got a little break from college football, we will start a little coverage of basketball. So kind of weird season so far. We're into this thing 3 or 4 weeks. And one thing's for sure, we got some really, really good teams. But despite what people are saying, there's not a great team in college basketball. I'm just telling you, there's not a great team. And I hate to disappoint any of you Mick fans around there, as in Mick Duke, but there are not a lot of great teams in college basketball. There's a lot of good teams. So, still got seven teams in college basketball, or seven teams in the top 25, I'm sorry, that are undefeated. Kansas, they've had two close ones.
Right.
Michigan, who throttled Carolina.
Yeah.
UVA is still undefeated. Nevada with the, what's the boys?
Martin Twins.
The Martin Twins. Texas Tech undefeated. Buffalo University undefeated. The Furman Paladins are undefeated. And then the Houston Cougars, the new version of the Five Slamma Jamma, are all undefeated. Now, obviously, we know that that's not going to last. And we're not going to talk about who's going to – who. I've got a rapid-fire question we'll talk about. But currently, those are seven teams. So, the weird part of the season so far, what, 3 or 4 weeks, we've had four number ones. Kansas start out number one. And despite not losing that first week, but Mick Duke's throttling of Kentucky in the opening game, Mick Duke jumped them. Then after Mick Duke got beat by Gonzaga, Gonzaga jumped from 2 or 3 to 1.
That's typically how it goes. You get 2 to 1.
Yeah, and then Gonzaga got beat, of course, last week. And Kansas is back at number one. So we've had so we've had four changes in 4 weeks. So currently the top ten as it stands: Kansas, Mick Duke, Tennessee. Tennessee's on a roll. They're playing well. They beat Gonzaga, Michigan, who is still undefeated. UVA, Nevada, Auburn, which Auburn was going into overtime today with somebody. I saw it. I don't know if they end up losing or
not. We need them to stay undefeated. They come to PNC Arena next Wednesday.
And State's playing good. They're 9-1 right now.
Oh, yeah.
They're playing good, and I watched them play a little bit yesterday. They look good. Michigan State, with two losses, is number 9, and Florida State is number 10. Trevor, our Heels are currently 12, but come tomorrow, that's going to change.
They'll probably go to what?
What do you think they'll go to?
9 to 10, maybe.
I don't know. They dominated, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, despite Bobby's protest via text. We're going to talk a little bit about this. Heels won 103-90. And I'm going to make a – I have a paragraph here that I'm going to say because I'm slightly pissed off about this.
Let's hear it.
You'll understand why. So, first of all I'm going to say is I really don't care what anybody says, and I repeat anybody – rankings mean nothing. When you come to Chapel Hill and play, if we win, it's not an upset. Okay? I don't care if you're the number one team in the freaking country and we're the number 10 or 12 or 15 team in the country. When you come to Carolina, I don't care if it's Gonzaga, Kansas, UVA, or Mick Duke, Carolina fans expect – well, we expect to win every game. But we definitely expect to win every home game. So it was not an upset. I'm tired hearing you see and everything. Just because we were 12 and they were 4, it was an upset. No, it was not a freaking upset. Okay, so let's just move on past it.
Even though their leading scorer is out.
Well, it doesn't matter. I mean, you throw 5 out there and we throw 5. I mean,
okay, just checking.
So anyway, Cam Johnson led us with 25. Luke May had 20. Kobe White had 15. And Celic Woods had 14 off the bench. Great first half. Yeah. So. Tell me your thoughts. Trevor, I know you watched it. Gray, you need to chime in because you were there. Y'all tell me y'all's thoughts. Bob and Bobby were at a Christmas party. Andy, I don't know what you were doing. You were probably getting that cheese sauce on your shirt that I saw you got on right now with the Pittsburgh Steelers cheese sauce on your shirt. So
I was at the Christmas party but watching the game.
Oh, okay. So you were watching.
On the big screen. No, I think 7th Woods coming off the bench, 14 points in 17 minutes. I think that's probably the spark they needed. He had a couple big baskets at the end of the first half, too. And like Roy Williams always says, everything looks better when the ball's going in the basket. Yeah. And they still gave up 90 points.
Were they playing Beckett Tackett?
Gray, what are your thoughts? You got to come over here and talk. Yeah. So
I agree with what he said about 7th Woods. I thought he brought a lot of consistency and efficiency off the bench. I thought something that they did this game that's kind of a staple for UNC basketball, but I haven't really seen it all year, was rebounding. And that's something that Mark Few talked about a lot. I thought they hit the boards and really took it to Gonzaga a lot there. I think that's something they weren't expecting and something that really was, you know, a big pillar of the game for Carolina.
That's why he's my son. Great lead-in for me.
And the Zags are a good rebounding.
Historically, Gonzaga is a great. Yes. And they're great defensively and great rebounding. Yes. Three takeaways from the game. When UNC rebounds, we're good.
Yeah.
We out-rebounded Gonzaga 43-23. Out of those 43, we almost doubled them up. Out of those 43, we had 14 offensive rebounds. Mm-hmm. When we shoot the ball well behind the arc, we're good. Guess what we shot from the three-point range? 52%.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
We shot 52%. We made 17 threes, and Cam Johnson was 6-for-8. Yeah. So when you rebound and you shoot well,
you're going to win.
You got a good chance of winning. Now, the one thing that we didn't do well, but fortunately they didn't do well, we're still turning the ball over too much. But yet they did not take advantage of those turnovers. We turned the ball over 23 times, way too much, but they didn't take advantage of it. This quote right here pretty much sums it up. They are right up there with anybody we've played, especially on the glass. We haven't been beaten on the glass like that all year. And I know we certainly haven't given up 50% in both halves for defensive field goals. They are right there. That would be Mark Few, Gonzaga's coach. So
Luke Gray had 16 rebounds last
year. Yeah, he went 20. Yeah, he went 20 and 16.
Yeah, but he hadn't done that all year.
No, yeah. So anyway, I'm just going to tell you, boys, it ain't going to happen. But if we can play like that consistently, we're going to be all right.
You're only going to lose the Duke by like 15 or 20.
Yeah. You can't expect to shoot 52%.
No, never.
Still can't give up 90 points.
But still can't give up 90 points. Right. Well, and you can't have 23 turnovers.
Right.
Well, so, with all that said, you still win by 13 over the number 4 ranked team in the country, and everybody calls it an upset. You know, I'll take the win. So, speaking of Duke, so the first mock draft or projections of the draft and this and that came out. Well, they've been coming out, but this is really the first one I've looked at since now we're kind of getting into basketball season. So the first projections, number 1, Zion Williamson, McDuke. Number 2, R.J. Barrett, McDuke. Number 3, Kevin Porter Jr. from Southern Cal. Number 4.
That's Kevin Porter's son, right?
Yep. Okay. I would think. Kevin Porter Sr. Okay. Yeah. Number 4, Bol Bol. Do you know who Bol Bol is?
Yeah,
whose son that is?
Oregon.
Mr. Bobo?
That's Manute Bol, who played.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Manute Bol that played for the Washington Wizards. That was 7'12"? 7'12"?
7'7".
Yeah, no. He was 7'7".
7'13".
Yeah, 7'13".
What phrase did Manute Bol become that is the common vernacular all over now?
No clue.
My bad.
Did he really? Mm-hmm. Did not know that.
He didn't. It was his translation, and that's who started it.
Did not know that. My bad. I didn't know that. Of course, Bol Bol plays. He's a freshman at Oregon. And the number 5 is Cam Reddish, also from McDuke. So the way I count from my Carolina math is that is 3 potential McDuke players going in the first round. The interesting thing about this, they're all freshmen. The first upperclassmen, you have to go all the way, and I consider upperclassmen in my vernacular, junior and senior. The first projected upperclassman is junior Brandon Clark from Gonzaga, the other kid besides the
one that got the player that got hurt that didn't play?
No. This is the kid. There's one kid, the big kid from Japan,
right.
And it's the other big kid who I thought he was really good. He had a nice shot. He's projected number 17. So the first 16 players are either all freshmen or sophomores.
Well, shouldn't they take a chapter from Will Greer and just sit out the rest of the year?
We're going to have a rapid fire question. Or actually, I'm going to address that right here in a second, Bob. You have to go all the way to pick number 44, which is late in the second round, for there to be the first senior.
Wow.
And that's Eric Paschal from Villanova, who played on national championship team last year and didn't play. Right. So anyway... but you make a very good point. Should Williamson, Barrett, Port, and Bol, and Reddick, and all the other top 20 players stop playing right now?
I think you would want them to, based on being a Carolina fan.
To avoid a career-ending threat of injury, should they and hurt their draft status, should they quit playing right now?
Yes.
According to Will Greer, they should quit. Live in a bubble until the draft.
Well, I mean, I don't think the only person that could hurt Zion Williamson is Zion Williamson himself. I mean, I don't think the ground could hurt that man.
There's no reason for him to be in college.
Except for Mike Leonard.
I read an article today by a Duke reporter. He's a Duke fan and a Duke reporter, actually, covers Duke, that said he would totally understand if Williamson quit playing right now, because he has legit, he has the legitimate possibility to earn $1 billion over his lifetime through endorsements and through you know, contracts and stuff like that. So he should actually quit playing basketball for Duke University right now.
He should have never went. He should have went somewhere in overseas or something, made millions of dollars.
I got, I got a question. So I know, like, on YouTube, if you have so many views on a video that you post, you get paid for it.
Yeah.
Is it the same like Instagram? If you get so many followers, do you get paid for that? And the reason I ask is because I know Zion Williamson's got like 2.3 million followers.
Well, if he's getting paid, then I want to know, because it's freaking illegal, and he needs to be reported to the NCAA. So I hope, I'm going to send him $5.
His collegiate career would be up.
I'm going to send him $5 so he's getting paid.
I'm just curious. I'm just curious.
There was a situation with that with a kicker at a small college. He had a YouTube channel. He streamed video games, and he was getting money from YouTube, and then he got in trouble for it, even though.
Maybe, it had nothing to do with his.
Maybe that's what he should do, so he doesn't have to take the Will Grier scenario. Yeah,
just do that. Make sure just, so you don't just start can't making play.
Money.
Well, I'm sure that if he decided to quit college tomorrow, that he wouldn't be worried about money for the next 6 months. That his agent that he quote doesn't have right now, I'm sure his agent would put him up somewhere.
I think you'd help him out.
I wouldn't give this guy shit, dude. I don't care. I don't care about him. He can stay all he wants to.
If he told you that he'd give you $10 million from his signings and bonuses.
Oh, if he offered to pay,
I'd front him,
and you'd front him some cash.
That's what I'm saying. You'd front him for a couple months.
Absolutely.
You become the biggest Zion Williamson fan ever.
Absolutely.
So you're easy, just not cheap.
No, absolutely not. I'd hold out for $10 million. I wouldn't do it for $10,000. I'd do it for $10 million. Hell, man, hell. Call me some dumb, not plum dumb. Hell. All right, let's move on. Studs and duds of the week. Studs, who you got?
I got the Jacksonville Cardinals.
Studs?
Studs. They still made it.
All right, good deal. I just wanted to make
it's
sure
a great season. The only games they lost when the fields were bad and the weather was bad.
Okay, so but they did play on the same field as Charlotte Catholic, right?
Yeah.
Okay, just want to make sure.
Just saying.
I didn't know if their side of the field was bad and Charlotte Catholic's wasn't, but okay. So that's your stud. That's a gem of stud. Bobby, stud.
I got to agree with Trevor. Jacksonville High School and the Jacksonville community. I mean, it was awesome to see us bring so many more, much more fans than Charlotte Catholic. I love when we can take it to a big city like that.
Okay. Bob.
I'm going to stick with the other guys. I mean, Jacksonville beating Havelock was pretty monumental. That was a great, great game, great victory.
Yeah, that was last week, though.
Oh.
But that's all right. We'll take it. Andy, who's your stud of the week? Is it Boswell, Chris Boswell, or Brian, or Ben Roethlisberger?
I'm definitely going to go with Chris Boswell to knock in that field goal at the end, to put him up seven, make him have to go for a game time touchdown.
Which they did not get.
Which they did not get.
And which Brady was complained about to the refs that there was probably some.
He missed another one in the earlier part of the game, which was hard to watch.
Okay.
There's talk right now that actually the Patriots are going to get to play again tomorrow morning, because Tom Brady's crying so much that they're going to redo that fourth quarter.
I understand. My stud of the week, Greg Williams, interim coach, Cleveland Browns. It took Williams six games to get more wins, four, than the previous head coach, Hugh Jackson. Williams is 4-2 after six games. Jackson, when fired, had not reached four wins, and he was 3-36-1.
Wow.
Greg Williams, you are the man, and legitimately, the Cleveland Browns should consider you to be their next permanent head coach. Duds of the week. Who you got?
I'm going to go with Nicholas, who's supposed to be here and talk about hockey.
Nick Kraft. Nick Kraft was supposed to be here tonight and talk about. Well, actually, shouldn't he be the stud since he didn't come? Because we really don't want to talk about it.
That's true.
Nick Kraft was supposed to be here tonight to give us a 3-minute.
I hope that story was fun.
To talk about hockey, but Nick didn't show up, so we didn't waste 3 minutes of our lives, did we? Bobby, who's your dud of the week?
My dud of the week is the Bladen County elections. I mean, this
okay,
guy
we've only got 35 County. Minutes left on the show, but tell us why.
But this guy in Bladen County in the Republican primary, he stole, and I'm going to use the word stole. For example, in the whole congressional district, they only had like 100 and something votes, total wide congressional district. In Bladen County, his candidate won 437-17 in the primary. And then all of a sudden, it became an issue in the primary, but in the general, we've obviously had an issue. We're going to have another re-election for the Republican district and for the whole congressional district. And I hope we have another Republican primary. So he's my dad, that guy. What's his name? Shooter McGavin or whatever.
Shooter McGavin, yeah.
McLaughlin, I can't even remember his name, but Bladen County.
He's such a dud, you don't remember his name.
Yeah.
Bob, Dud of the Week.
Hard for Bladen County to get credited for that because they've been doing this forever.
Yeah, I mean.
From the mood of the campaign.
Yeah, I mean, I thought that's how you did things. But anyway. Who's your dud?
I got none.
You got one? Andy, you got a dud?
I was going to go with Bladen County, but Bobby just kind of stole that from me. You know what? My dud is going to be Thursday Night Football staff. And here's why I say that. I like it. It was a phenomenal Thursday night game, and the Chargers actually ended up winning. But if you would have listened to the announcers for that entire game, the only thing they talked about was Patrick Mahomes and how great he was. And to see the Chargers come back and win that, and it, literally, if you were watching it and not if you were listening and not watching,
you thought Kansas City would have won by
a blowout.
Yeah, I didn't. Yeah, I watched part of the game, but I didn't. That's interesting. Gray, you scattered off somewhere. Do you have a stud or dud of the week?
I don't have a dud of the week. Seventh Woods would be my stud just because finally got a little bit of a coming out party off the bench for Carolina.
Okay, for those who couldn't hear because he refused to come to the mic.
I do
he
have
said,
a dud of the week.
He said Seventh Woods, who had a great come off the bench performance for Carolina. That's great. Who's your dud?
I do have a dud of the week, and I'd like to get some input from Gray.
So, Gray, come up here.
The soccer community for using the term unlucky. They never use lucky when they make one. So, would you like to elaborate on that, Gray, or comment on the term unlucky?
Yeah. I think it's pretty, I don't know. It's pretty contextual, I guess you would say. Sports is easy. You take a bad bounce or something. Soccer bounce away from you. It's easy to say it's unlucky. You don't get lucky when you score a good goal, though. You always mean to do
that. It's, skill, it's skillful.
But that's the only sport or only thing in life that you're really here to talk about.
Right? Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
all right, my dud of the week. I don't really know who the dud of the week is. I don't know if it's the Broward County, Florida Sheriff's Department, judicial system. I don't know if it's Florida International University, its athletic department, or if it's the player Shondaris Phillips. But it seems that FIU's Shondaris Phillips, who plays running back, has played the entire 2018 season with a warrant out for his arrest.
Nice.
A judge in Broward County issued a warrant in August of 2018 on felony charges of domestic battery by strangulation. His girlfriend reported him to the Broward County Sheriff's Department in June or July, and the judge issued this warrant in August. Well, Phillips played the whole season and then I guess figured out that there was a warrant out for his arrest because Wednesday he turned himself in to authorities. So, FIU spokesman declined to comment about whether anyone at the university was aware that there was a warrant out for his arrest during the whole season that he played football. They played, and the interesting fact here is FIU plays their home games in Miami-Dade County, which is just south of Broward County. So, it wasn't like he was across country and there was a warrant out for his arrest, but this kid had played the whole football year with a warrant out for his arrest. He finally decided to turn himself in, and I have all ideas. The only reason he turned himself in, they are actually playing in a bowl game this week, the Bahama Bowl, and he probably would have not been able to leave the country because there was a warrant out.
When he could leave, he just couldn't get back in.
He couldn't get back in. So that's why the kid turned himself in, because he would not have been able to go.
Isn't that interesting, though, is all these players that are getting in trouble for this domestic abuse are running backs?
Yeah.
You know, some trend with that? I mean, I'm serious. I mean, you are, why is that position?
Right. You make a great point.
I mean, no one's talked about this yet, but the running back's position, which is not the aggressive position, it's not the linebacker.
Besides the linebacker from San Francisco, Reuben Foster. You have, obviously, the grandfather of them all, Ray Rice.
Yeah, Ray Rice started.
Ray Rice is the granddaddy of them all. And then you have Kareem Hunt now, and now you've got this kid, and I'm sure I'm missing four or five others.
But they're running backs.
I mean, they're all running. Yeah, that's a great point.
They take just as many hits to the head as linebackers do.
Well, Ben Roethlisberger also had a tiff, remember?
So, I'll say this to that. In my days back at ECU.
Ooh, now we're talking.
Chris Johnson?
No, Andy's days.
David Girard and Henry was the running back. But only on my ECU experience, the two guys that the girls were after the most was the starting quarterback and the starting running back.
And Andy,
of course.
They weren't busting to get.
That's a whole other segment. Another podcast, folks.
They were not busting to get.
With the offensive tackle? Really?
But here's my point.
Or the 350-pound defensive tackle, they weren't busting to get with him?
The coaches and the universities and the NFL teams these days pay so much attention to their quarterback to keep them out of trouble. I think it's possible that the running backs kind of fly under that security radar, but they come out of college with that same
cockiness,
arrogance.
Yeah, that's a great point.
That they are God's gift to women, and that's just a theory.
Andy, that's a legitimate point, and since you're invited back next week, because that is a legitimate point.
Thank you.
That's a good philosophical.
That's a good philosophical insight. I mean, you legitimately made a good point, and you deserve to have that cheese sauce on your Steelers shirt right there. So you thought I was joking, but you got cheese sauce on. He thought I was joking. All right, rapid fire.
Can I do one more thing?
Yes. This is your table. Your house. You can do whatever you want to do.
My real dud of the week, though, is a former Jacksonville Cardinal starting quarterback,
Matt Cross.
Yeah.
Matt. Ass slapper cross.
Yes. And why is he my dud of the week?
Why?
Because it was a threat of rain, and he couldn't make the state championship because of a threat of rain. Just that's dud of the week there.
That's a great.
That's what you get, Cross.
Save that till next week.
I'm just kidding, brother. I love you. But seriously, that was kind
of. Hey, weird. Matt, one little suggestion. You won't melt. Okay. Rapid fire. William Perry, better football player, actor, because he was in the A-team. Or rapper/dancer, Super Bowl Shuffle.
Super Bowl Shuffle.
All right. Best nickname in football: Refrigerator, Honey Badger, Beast Mode, Captain America, which is Luke Kuechly.
I didn't know it was
the Squirrel, Julian Edelman, Red Rifle, Andy Dalton, or Saquads, because his legs are really big, Saquon Barkley. Best nickname:
Beast Mode.
I like the Honey Badger.
What do you like? If you're going to participate, Greg, get your butt up and get over here and talk.
Honey Badger is a close second.
The fridge would be another
too. Bobby, if you're going to give Trevor a nickname, what would it be?
Oh, man.
Beast Mode, right?
I think I'd just have to do the James Taylor Carolina song, because that's all he wants to talk about is Carolina.
Go heels.
All right. Trevor, if you were to give Bobby a nickname, what would it be?
I already did about 3 years ago, the Blonde Bomber.
The Blonde Bomber. O.J. Simpson, better football player or better at getting away with murder? I would say better at getting away with murder.
Yeah, I mean, great football player is still better at getting away with murder.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows the glove don't fit.
Yeah.
Well, that's why
he must have had. You know why the glove didn't fit? He must have had William Perry's big ass hands in him.
Yeah. That's 25
rooms. Okay, here we go. Best mob movie: Godfather, just number one. Scarface, The Departed, Goodfellas, Casino, or Donnie Brasco?
Goodfellas.
I'm a Departed guy. I love that movie.
Man, I'm a Scarface guy, dude.
I haven't seen it.
You haven't seen any of those movies? Oh, my God.
I'm not a big one, but
is not invited.
The Goodfellas had to be the top one.
For all right. True false. Next year, the college bowl season, we'll see two new bowl games, and the qualifications for playing in these games are a little bit different. Your wins and losses don't matter. You just have to commit to all of your players playing in the bowl game and not leaving early for the NFL draft. True or false?
Well, if win and loss don't matter, this is going to get a chance for Carolina playing more.
Exactly.
So I would say true.
True. Yes or no, Bob Mills? Players that sit out bowl games suck.
They suck, yes.
True. Yes or no? You could make it a 64-team playoff, and Clemson and Alabama would still meet in the national championship.
True. Unequivocally.
Unequivocally true.
Unequivocally.
Baker Mayfield, one-year wonder or the real deal?
I'm going 1 year.
Real deal.
I think the real deal.
I think the real deal.
He could be the next Drew Brees, maybe?
I'd take him.
Gray.
Next Doug Flutie.
One-year wonder or real deal?
The real deal.
All right. Starting a franchise, who you got? Just rookies. Baker, Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Lamar Jackson.
Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Who you got?
I'll take Baker on that.
Who you got?
Baker out of that group.
Okay. Best QB never to win a Super Bowl: Dan Marino, Phillip Rivers, Jim Kelly, Fran Tarkenton, Dan Fouts, Warren Moon. That's a damn good group of quarterbacks.
Dan Marino.
Phillip Rivers.
Warren Moon was good too, but I'm going Marino.
Did any of y'all ever see, I know Bob did, Jim Dan Fouts?
Oh, yeah.
Man, he was nasty.
He was for the Chargers, too, right?
Yeah.
So. Oh, yeah.
Notice a trend on these teams, too?
I would say if I had to pick one of those, Fran Tarkenton was pretty good, man.
He was good.
Fran Tarkenton was good.
I love watching Warren Moon throw the football.
I did, too.
He had a pretty spot.
Good.
Yes or no, Mitch Trubisky, winner?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
He went to Carolina. It's not possible.
All he does is win, win, win.
Would you rather have Mitch Trubisky or Nick Foles?
Nick Foles.
Right now?
For this year.
For this year?
Uh-huh.
100% Mitch Trubisky.
Okay. Ooh.
Absolutely.
Ooh.
Go Heels.
Go Heels. Blinded by the light.
Hey.
Walmart Nation is here.
Hey. All he does is win, win, win. Best chance to go undefeated for the season. Kansas, Michigan, UVA, Nevada, Texas Tech, Buffalo, Furman, or Houston?
Michigan.
You think they're going to go undefeated in the Big Ten?
I'm going to assume Furman.
Michigan.
I'm going to go with Buffalo or Furman because I bet they don't play anybody.
I'm going to go with they have the most legit shot. If you watch them, they don't play in a very good conference. Nevada.
Yes.
Nevada could potentially legitimately go undefeated this year. Furman, Buffalo are flying under the radar, and Houston plays in what the
conference USA.
No, they play in America. They play in your conference.
American conference. Yeah.
So they'll lose a game because they're like in there with Memphis and you know a couple good teams. UCF, East Carolina, who has a 6'9" Lithuanian guy who Fred Phelps told me about. No.
So how about the over and under 3.5 is more or less wins for the national champion this year in basketball.
Losses?
Yes.
I think there'll be more losses than three.
Oh, more unequivocally.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yes or no, you do realize that the question above didn't have the name McDuke in it, correct? Correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Or Carolina.
No, yeah, absolutely. But, I mean, Carolina doesn't have 82 McDonald's All-Americans on their team.
Okay.
So, okay. Yes or no, Coby White, one and done?
I hope not.
Who is he?
Probably. Yes.
Shit. Yes or no?
We'll find out.
Coby White, great hair?
Great hair.
Yes or no?
Know who he is.
Yes or no? Luke May, one more and done, as in not going to play in the NBA?
Yeah, definitely not.
Go play football. Use your fifth year.
Mm. Yes or no? Zion Williamson, best player in college basketball?
Best athlete in college basketball.
Most dominant.
Yes.
You're saying he is the best player? Okay.
Yes.
True or false? Zion Williamson is shooting 14% from the three-point line.
Probably true.
So, I come back to the question, yes or no, Zion Williamson, best player in college basketball?
Yes.
How can you be the best freaking player in college basketball when you shoot 14%?
What did Shaq shoot from the three-point line?
He didn't have to.
Okay, just curious.
But he didn't attempt. He was 0% because he didn't attempt a three-point.
I was just curious.
This is the next coming of God here, and you're telling me that Zion Williamson, this is legitimately God 2.0, and you're telling me the kid can only make 14%.
David Robinson, just...
None of them, okay, first of all, they didn't have the three-point line when a lot of these guys were playing
college
basketball.
Every player I just mentioned, they had the three-point line.
Not in college basketball, they did not.
Every player except for...
Except for
Bill Russell and Will Chamberlain. Shaq, they did.
Okay, but how many three-point shots did they attempt?
It doesn't matter.
Well, the guy needs to know his limitations. Okay, next question. True, false. Zion Williamson, one donut away from 300 pounds.
He's 285.
Maybe not a donut, but a Krispy Kreme 12-pack would do.
Yeah.
Last question, true or false, Zion Williamson, one donut away from looking like Booger McFarland, commentator on Monday Night Football. That is a true, I'm answering it, we're out, thanks.